Let us prepare ourselves for the Word of God as it comes to us in the reading of the Holy Scripture. Our hearts and minds are open. This is a reading from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing this ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us, so that we may urge Titus that, as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this manner, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of God, the word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I spent last week in the Twin Cities. Spent it at Luther Seminary attending two continuing education events. The first was focused on the readings that we will have next year from Labor Day until Memorial Day. The other one, it's one of an annual series of workshops that they put on. The series is called Rethinking. And its goal is to look at things that churches and the church have done and, well, rethink them. Is what we're doing working? Is it the best way to do it? Should we still be doing this? And over the past 5 years, I've attended these rethinking conferences. We've rethought evangelism, rethinking faith formation, rethinking stewardship, rethinking confirmation, rethinking Sunday mornings. And each year I come back with a lot of information, a whole bunch of questions, a few good ideas, a few bad ideas, but always with the urge to push and to challenge the congregations and the churches to rethink what it is that we're doing and to focus on what we're called to do. This year's topic was rethinking church. The basic question was, what does it mean to be the church? But during the sessions, there was a lot of scripture being shared. I found that my best way of taking notes was to hold my iPad up to take a picture of the screen, and at night in my hotel room to read the pictures I had taken, rewrite my notes, and to really reflect on what had been shared. We read a lot of scripture that talked about what God told the people of Israel, and a lot of what Jesus told the apostles and the disciples. And to be honest, much of that does not match up with what we do. Now, I don't have it all rethought. I'm still thinking about it. But I do have some things that I want to share and that I'm going to continue to share. There is a difference between having a church and being a church. Having a church refers to the building. It refers to a structure, a physical structure, but also an organizational structure. It puts an emphasis on three things. Having a church means that the most important things that you do are worship, educate, and the life within the church. The structure, both the building and the organizational structure, provide a space, a physical space, where things can get done. A building forms is a form of permanence, a way of living out beyond your lifetime, that our works will continue after we've gone. And an organization provides a way of getting things done. It provides a priority or a hierarchy, which is yet another form of permanence. But there's concerns to that type of structure, because permanence does not facilitate flexibility. Permanence hampers the ability to adapt and change. When a building is built, plans are made for what you have and what you have to have. But when those things change, both positively and negatively, the structure may not be easily adaptable. Plus, there is a permanence to a building and a structure. More churches have been divided and people have left over designing a building plan, picking out colors, and making decisions on what will be permanent than have left the church over theological issues like ordaining women or accepting members of the LGBTQ community. If you have a structure, you have to maintain it. It has to be operated, and sometimes that becomes the focus of what you do, rather than the mission of God. In the Gospels, Jesus never talked about a physical structure for the church, for the reign of God, or for the kingdom of heaven. The only time Jesus referred to a physical church structure was when he talked about the temple in Jerusalem. And about that he said, what was built with human hands can be destroyed and rebuilt through God in 3 days. Being the church refers to the doing the work that Christ called his followers to do. The ekklesia, that's the Greek word that we translate as church, its primary meaning is the assembly or the congregation. It's not the building, it's not the structure, it's the bodies gathered inside. I want to take a moment and give you a visual representation of this. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. The people are the church. Not the building, not the steeple, not the doors, but the people.
The focus of the church has to be on the people and not on the building. The building can't do the work of God. It can enable, it can facilitate, but it cannot do it. The people can. The people, the body of Christ, are called to do what Jesus commanded us to do. And that leads me to today's lesson and the church in Macedonia. One of the responsibilities that Paul has been given by the Council of Leaders in Jerusalem is to have the churches that he was leading, that he founded, take up a collection to support the poor in Jerusalem. Now it's time to collect the offering. And Paul shares with the church in Corinth how their sister congregation in Macedonia has done with the offering. We want you to know about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches in Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Now, I've never been a parent, and I'm an only child. But I have a lot of cousins, and I have a lot of friends who have siblings or are parents of siblings. And I have discovered this technique of playing one against the other. It's used to motivate or challenge one of the siblings. Well, your brother made the honor roll. Your sister always keeps her room so nice and clean. I don't have to tell anyone else 34 times to take out the garbage. Paul introduces it to the church, to the large, wealthy, strong congregation in Corinth. Paul writes about what the small, weak, poor people of Macedonia have done. They voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints and doing more, not merely as we expected. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, the big, strong, rich Corinthian church, that the church in Macedonia, the small, poor church in Macedonia, that they gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us for the privilege of participating. And after sharing about how the Macedonians, these small, poor Macedonians, have responded, he tells the Corinthians, the rich, strong, powerful Corinthians, now you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you. So we want you too to excel in this generous undertaking. I don't say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. If the Macedonians, the small, poor Macedonians, have been so generous, imagine what the Corinthians, the rich, strong, powerful Corinthians, could do. After all, they excel in everything. And Paul admits he's putting the two against each other. I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of the others. Who knew you could pit one congregation against the other? I might have to write that down somewhere. But what he's really encouraging the church to do, what he is really encouraging and challenging the church in Corinth to do, is to be the church, to do church, to act as the body of Christ, to do what we have been commanded to do. And so what does it mean to do church, to be the church? Well, what are the things that Christ commanded his disciples to do? Take care of the sick, feed the hungry, tend to the poor, welcome the stranger, receive children, support the widows, forgive as you have been forgiven. These and the other responsibilities are those of the church, the ecclesia, the assembly, the congregation, the body of Christ. And they can be summed up in the two commands that Jesus said were the greatest commandment and the one like it. But they're better summed up in the command he gave to his disciples during his last meal with them. In his gospel, John recorded that Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Think about that. What does it mean to love other people with the love Christ has for us? That's what it means to be the church, to do church. It means loving others with the love Christ has for us. Loving with an all-encompassing, an all-giving, an all-forgiving, all-hearing, all-embracing, all-sacrificing love. It means not focusing on the church and what's inside the church, but opening the doors and looking at the world beyond those doors. It means giving of yourselves just as the Macedonians did. It means inviting God in and inviting God to take of who you are and what you have, as Paul is asking the Corinthians. It means telling God to take my life, take my hands, take my voice, take my silver and gold, take my will, but most importantly, take my love and take myself, that I will be ever only all for thee. So I want you to rethink with me. And when you think about the church, don't think about the building. Don't think about the steeple. Throw open the doors and think about all the people. Amen. Our hymn is "Take My Life That I May Be," hymn number 685.